At exactly 2:01, a very specific time, we will have some special guests coming to say hello before we do our actual intro. It is actually Take Your Kid to Work Day. Rosie has a bunch of little special guests with him that will be giving a quick hello, and then we will get started.
Oh, here they come. It's 201.
And there they go. Wow, that was very
Oh.
efficient. In and out. Which have
Well,
to
we had
get
to.
a rec play a recap or something. RSA is coming up, so if anybody's visiting, let us know and we will be there. Today's webinar is about controls and violations. We're going to talk to you about how you can efficiently set controls, take care of remediating those violations, and then prioritize what to tackle first. Rosie, over to you.
Thanks, Katie, and thanks again, everyone, for attending these. I know everyone's busy and taking time to join us. I really do appreciate it. I think this is now the fourth webinar that we've done in this series. And if you've attended the others, or if you go back to the recording and look at the others, you'll know that I always like to begin these with a quote. The quote for this month is from Vinton Cerf, who is one of the fathers of the internet, if you don't know. And what he said was, the wonderful thing about the internet is that you're connected to everyone else. The terrible thing about the internet is that you're connected to everyone else. And when we talk about controls and we talk about violations, it's essentially protecting your environment, protecting your organization against that second everyone else, not the first everyone else. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, of course, what are controls? What are violations? Let's start from the very basics, right? And work our way from there. So controls are basically things that are designed to prevent attacks on your data, right? These are rules and things that you follow that allow you to essentially protect your environment. Now, they have to be enforceable, right? They can't be vague. They can't be things like, we need to be more secure. They have to be specific about something that you can do or something that you desire in the organization so that if there is a violation of what you desire, you have a call to action, something you can actually fix to reduce risk. Now, typically, controls follow industry best practices and standards. There are tons of standards out there in terms of how to properly secure your environment, regardless of industry. And then there's lots of industry-specific standards, and of course, regulatory and regional standards that you either desire or want to follow or you have to follow. But it's not just the regulatory stuff. You're not doing this just because some government agency says you have to do this to protect your environment. You're going to have internal policy, internal controls that go one step beyond potentially what the regulatory ones mandate that you follow. And one of the things that we, and you'll see in the webinar, we strive or we advocate for is that you have to think about controls around asset types. You have to think about controls. And if you were in last month's webinar, I talked a lot about account types and asset types. But the controls that you're going to enforce towards a service account, for example, are going to be much different than the controls that you're going to apply on a regular user account or an admin account or any other account type. So those are controls. Controls are essentially, at a very basic level, the things you desire. When the things you desire are violated, then those are violations, right? A violation simply is a violation to the control. But it's more than that. It's also the call to action. A violation is great because it tells you what to do in order to reduce risk. For example, if you have a privileged account that should not be privileged, the violation is you have a privileged account that should not be privileged. And the remediation of that essentially reduces risk. And it is that call to action that, okay, this is what you have to do in order to protect the environment. And you have to structure your controls such that when you have a violation, if you reduce those violation, you inherently reduce risk. Having a control that triggers a violation, that then resolving that violation does not result in actually reducing risk, it's just giving yourself more work, right? At least if you're in a security professional. You might do it for other reasons, like administrative reasons, ROI, and others. But if we're talking about the context of security, you want to focus your violations and your controls around the things that will actually reduce risk. And again, your violations must not, along with the controls, must not be vague. You cannot have a violation that says you are not secure enough. Well, what do I do with that? You can have a violation that says we've discovered an account that is privileged, and that account is of the account type that should not be privileged. So your violation and your remediation of that violation is to essentially remove the privileged access of that account or possibly onboard it into a vaulting solution. Let's talk about some examples. It's a little more concrete of what we're talking about when we're talking about controls and violations. A good control is that all of your admin accounts must be in a vaulting solution, such as CyberArk. Regular user accounts, for example, should not be running scheduled tasks. All accounts have to have ownership. We talked a lot about ownership in the previous webinars and how important it was. And of course, privileged accounts must have their credentials rotated, right? These are all pretty basic, pretty standard controls. And of course, the violation side of those is that you do have a privileged account that's not onboarded into a vaulting solution, that you do have a developer who ended up using their primary login account to run a service on a production application. Again, really bad, but something that, or where you have a bunch of service accounts and you have no owner. And without that owner, if that service account is causes some other violation, you now have no way of getting to that remediation stage, right? So that's why ownership is so important enough that in many cases justifies its own control around it. And of course, I'm sure most of the people on this call do not have this situation, but it does happen, believe it or not, where there are accounts, service accounts with privilege access floating around that haven't had their credentials changed in years because there's some legacy application where the developer says, if you change this password, the application will stop working because the person that knows how it works left 10 years ago. So none of you have this issue, but believe me, it does happen. So why are they important? Obviously, you're on this webinar, you're listening to it live, or you're watching the recording. You do know, but let's kind of review, right? They are, if you think about it, the basis of any cybersecurity program. Any program to reduce risk is essentially based on enforcing those controls and taking care of those violations. You may not call them controls or violations, but regardless, they are a control and a violation of what you desire that you need to address in order to reduce risk. If you think about the data that you collect, especially if you're collecting massive amounts of discovery data, in the first webinar, we talked about intelligent discovery, and we talked about how you discover things like accounts and entitlements of accounts. That's a great first step, right? To understand what the issue is, the scope of the issue, right? To get the raw data of what do I have in my environment. But unless you can apply controls and violations, that's just information, right? You can't look at a list of millions, potentially tens of millions of accounts and entitlements, and then say, okay, I need to take action. The controls, that layer of controls, and more importantly, the violations is what tells you, okay, out of the million accounts, here's the 1,000 that actually need attention. Take care of those 1,000 issues and you reduce risk. Like I said, without controls, it's just data, it's just information. And if there's one thing that people don't need, it's just more information without actionable intelligence. And of course, as I said, dealing with those violations, applying the controls to all of that raw data and with the resulting violations, if you've configured your controls properly and the resulting violations, then that if I focus on these violations, if I close these violations, I will inherently reduce risk in my environment. So, how do you effectively apply controls? Last month, we talked about account types. And account types, I keep talking about the need for account type and asset type in general when we talk about controls and violations because it is so critical, it's so important. What we do with account types is essentially we are categorizing or defining the rules for the different account types inside my organization, right? So I have service accounts, I have admin accounts, I have database accounts, regular user accounts. You might have something very specific to your environment, like local database accounts from South America, as an example. But these are logical buckets of accounts, not. So what this is not, it's not saying that I've discovered an account is running a service, so it must be a service account. No, because you could have, again, that situation where a developer took their regular user account and used it as a service account. Here, we are defining the rules for this is what I believe a service account needs to be. And now I want to mark those accounts. I want to put them in the service account bucket. These are the accounts that should be service accounts. These are the accounts that I consider admin accounts. These are the accounts that I consider database accounts. These are my regular user accounts. And these are my local database South accounts or whatever, again, individual account type that you might have defined in your organization that makes sense for the way that you manage your organization. So great. So now we have these different account types defined. How do you apply that those controls? Controls are going to be applied based on those account types. So control one is one that should only be targeting regular users. As an example, for example, if you know that regular user accounts should never be able to do X, whatever X is, that control is applied to just your regular user accounts. So if we find the regular user accounts doing X, running a service, having privilege access, having access to a critical application that they shouldn't have access, we have the violation. And of course, taking care of the violation reduces risk. Now you'll notice with control two and control three and control four, they can overlap. You can have a control, for example, control three, that overlaps both your admin accounts and your database accounts. And you can have control four that just covers your database accounts and control two that applies to both service accounts and admin accounts. Real life examples of control two might be accounts that are onboarded into a vaulting solution. You might say that I want to make sure that all of my admin accounts and all of the accounts that are service accounts, whether or not they have administrative access to the target system, must be vaulted. So that control covers both of those account types. And if we find a situation where those accounts are not vaulted, triggers a violation. Account type is critical, right, to effectively apply controls. But again, controls must not be vague, right? You cannot have a control that says accounts must be more secure. You can have a control that says passwords must be rotated on database accounts every 3 weeks or every 3 months or whatever the number is. But that is a very concrete example of a control versus database accounts must be secure. They have to be measurable. You have to have the ability to say, I have these violations today, and then tomorrow those violations are gone in a very measurable way. A control that's vague is not measurable. A violation that's vague is not measurable. There's no way to know that it's working or not working in terms of what you're doing to reduce that risk. And as I said before, closing that violation, enforcing those controls must reduce risk. That's the whole reason we're doing this, right? No one needs extra work in this current world, right? If you have to give your attention to someone, especially if you are a security person or a security-minded person, you don't have to be in security, but if you're a security-minded infrastructure person, you want to deal with those violations that will give you the biggest bang for the buck, the most protection in the environment. So what are the challenges? Number one, defining that initial set of controls is not easy. To some extent, you can look at things like regulatory controls as a starting point because you have to follow those. But then figuring out your policies, figuring out what is best for your industry, your organization, is something that you have to be mindful of. Now, the good news is that these controls and the creation of these controls have been around for decades for most organizations. What you really need to focus on is how you enforce those controls. And then putting that long list of controls that you have documented, those policies, putting them through the test from the previous slides, right? Are they vague? Are they enforceable? Are they manageable? Are they measurable? If they're not, maybe consider changing them because otherwise, there's really nothing you could do about them. You are dealing with a constantly changing environment, right? I talk to people all the time and they talk about, especially when we're talking about sphere board and the product, and they'll ask me, okay, so once we do this cleanup, we're done, right? We don't need the product anymore. And I always say, yeah, absolutely. As long as you shut down all your data centers, right? Get rid of all your tenants, shut down your data centers, and you never have to run the product ever again. The reality is mergers and acquisitions happen. New users get added, new users get removed. Users move within an organization. You're dealing with a constantly changing environment, and you need something that is constantly changing and updating with that changing environment. But here's the other thing. It's not just your environment that's changing in the normal course of how things are going on a day-to-day basis, right? It isn't just that you're getting new users and mergers are happening and groups are splitting, groups are joining. The threat landscape is constantly changing. So you have to evolve your controls and how you monitor those controls and violations with the ever-changing landscape. And like I said, it's not a one-time activity. You can't just enforce these controls today and expect that they will stay enforced. There are things that you can do to ensure that when you fix something, it stays fixed, right? By fixing broken processes or finding, isolating those broken processes and ensuring that they don't happen again. But there's no guarantee that some new process that's not broken today is not going to be broken a month from now. So this is definitely not a one-time activity. Of course, we get to the part of the webinar where we talk about Sphereboard. How does Sphereboard do it? How do we deal with kind of this control problem, and how do we give our customers the ability to enforce those controls and deal with the violations? Well, the first thing that we start with is the asset type engine. So this is what we talked about in the previous webinars. We talked about asset type and primarily account type being the starting point for how you apply controls. And just to recap from last month, the account type rules engine allows you to define those account types. What are my service accounts? Whether it's something like naming convention or OU or extension attribute or any kind of combination of those things, platform. It says, you know what? I think my service accounts all start with SVC underscore or end with underscore SVC or have this character or are in this OU or my database accounts have these attributes, my regular user accounts or my local accounts have these attributes, my AD accounts have these attributes, but all of those attributes collectively is what I consider a service account. So now you could properly apply that control to just the service accounts, or more importantly, apply a control to everything else but the service account. Think about the idea of only service accounts should be running services. The service accounts are actually going to be excluded from that control. That control is going to be applied to everything else. So if we find that developer who used their regular user account to run a production service on a production server, we will highlight that as a violation. So next is the control engine. So the control engine is constantly running and looking for these violations. It's constantly evaluating all of the accounts against your set of controls and saying, here's where we found a violation, and giving you a detailed list of these violations. And in the case of accounts, a list of accounts that have these violations. So you have your call to action, right? You have the things that need to be corrected. We found a bunch of accounts that should be vaulted that are not vaulted. We found a bunch of regular user accounts running services and they should not be running services. We found a bunch of database accounts having that are considered, let's say, dev accounts having access to production. The controls engine finds these violations. I like to describe, whenever we talk about engines in Sphereboard, I like to describe the engines as almost they have anxiety. And these engines are constantly looking to see, do I have a new account that I need to evaluate? Do I have a new service that I need to look at? Do I have a new account that doesn't have ownership that I need to go out and find ownership? The idea is that similar to a human who is paranoid about security, this is what the product does, right? And this is exactly what the control engine does. It's the equivalent of a paranoid human constantly checking, there's something changing in the environment and am I properly protected? And if I'm not, I'm going to turn that bar red so that I can tell people, you need to go fix this. You need to go fix this right away. And that's essentially our control engine. But then finally, the idea of, okay, great. I am doing all this work. I am finding violations. I am fixing violations. I started with 100 accounts that needed to be onboarded into a vaulting solution such as CyberArk. And every day I'm doing more and more and vaulting those accounts and getting those violations down. Fantastic. Except that while you are busy closing violations, something else or someone else could be just as busy creating new ones. And if you don't pay attention to those broken processes to stop the bleeding, to fix the new ones that are happening, you're going to be so focused on what you have today. And 6 months from now, you're going to look at what you had today versus what you have 6 months from now and say, look, I closed all the violations out. Meanwhile, because new violations were being created every day, you actually end up 6 months later having more violations that you began with. So what our stock and flow chart allows you to do is actually see what we call flow, right? So while you're busy taking care of, in this case, the blue line of violations that you started with going down week over week, if a new set of violations pops up that are not related to the original that you were working with, you can isolate those, you can fix those. Maybe it's a broken process, maybe it's a broken build. Every time a new server is built, a new violation is created, right? Regardless of what is actually causing that flow, you want to find the root cause of it and you want to take care of it because if you don't, they will accumulate. And that's what the purple line represents, that accumulation of new issues that are not being addressed. And if they're not being addressed and you don't address them, like I said, 6 months later, you're going to find yourself, you know what? I'm actually back to where I started from. I did all this work, all this effort to decrease risk, all this work to close out my violations, but because there was an admin who was not properly trained, or maybe it was a breach, or maybe it was, like I said, a bad build, I'm back to where I started from. I wasted all of that time, energy, and money for no reason. This is meant to prevent that. So that's really how we tackle the control problem. This is how we tackle the not only displaying the data for you, but ultimately giving you a mechanism to correct it. And then on an ongoing basis, allow you to see how things are going. See that things are going, that it's working. What you're doing is working. Violations are going down. You are more secure. So if we talk about what we've done so far with this series of webinars, we started off with talking about account discovery, the core basis of where you start, and HR automation, like bringing in information about all the accounts and what those accounts can do, as well as the humans that are in the organization. We talked about asset type and figuring out what are your service accounts, what are your admin accounts, what are my regular user accounts. Of course, ownership, right? We collected all the people that work in the organization and all the accounts. We have to create the relationship between the two because that's how you get to remediation. You can't just go and delete an account that you think is unsecure without checking with the owner and having the owner tell you, yes, okay, you can do that, right? And today, of course, we talked about that additional layer of, okay, here is what you actually have to fix, right? Let's apply that layer of controls on top of all of this massive data because the three boxes leading up to today represent a large amount of data that has to be organized, that you have to comb through. And even when you have it in an organized, kind of manageable way, it's going to be millions and millions, sometimes billions of rows of data. You have to make sense of it. Controls is how you make sense of it. Violations is your call to action. It's organizing it and taking potentially billions of rows of data and saying, here's the 500 you should really work on. Here's the 10 that you should really work on. Taking care of those, paying attention to those is what resolves the issue. And this is when we talk about at Sphere here, we talk about quality versus quantity when it comes to data. Just because an account has access to everything does not make it a violation because you could have a single account that has access to one thing, and that's a much bigger violation than a service account that has access to every single one of your servers, but it's a known state. It's your SCCM service account, which must have access to all of your servers. Controls and violations allows you to pinpoint the quality issues because that's what reduces risk. Chasing after that SCCM account and the owner of that SCCM account to explain to you why they have to have access to all the servers, that is pointless. That is a wasted effort because it has to have access to all the servers. But that one account owned by someone in marketing, and I always pick on marketing, but the one person in marketing who used to be a developer, decided they wanted a career change, went over to marketing, but they still have access, privileged access to a production server, that's a quality issue. That's a violation. And that's what you should be focused on. So, all of this is really all about when we talk about what Sphere does, what Sphere Board does, we talk about intelligent discovery. Up until this point, everything that we've talked about is all about that discovery piece. And while we are able to collect all this data and correlate it, and we're able to give you the output of these controls and violations of what to do, the question inevitably is, now what? Okay, great. You told me everything I'm doing wrong. Now what? So in upcoming webinars, we're going to start talking about our campaign engine, and we're going to talk about remediation engine to answer the question, now what? How do I actually take what we've been able to distill down into actionable intelligence and take it to the next step of actually actioning that intelligence?
And no, I was not Rosie's muse for why marketing is always the example of why things break. Or was, I'm not sure. This webinar is actually part of our podcast series as well. So we start out with a podcast with a more casual conversation, whether with an internal or external person. This month, we had Neil Heimowitz, who is from Northwell Health, and he gave us some really great insight and information into how the healthcare industry takes care of these controls and violations. We try to make sure that though they're about the same topic, that the webinar and the podcast do have unique content to give you a little bit more from each side. Next month, we're going to have Adam Markert from CyberArk. It's called Meet Locals in Your Server, How Local Accounts Can Cause Devastating Security Issues. So we're going to discuss how local accounts on servers, databases, and applications are often ignored and can present a ticking time bomb, and how you can prevent that and secure your organization from risk. We just want to thank you so much for attending today. We hope that you join us next month. Thank you so much again for joining, and we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.